Hello and welcome to Destiny, an enlarging series of messages all about connecting with and walking in the fullness of who God's destined you to be here at Empower Church.
Great to see you all today. Welcome to Super Sunday. Leonardo da Vinci, this Thursday gone, was actually the 500th anniversary of da Vinci's death and was commemorated by French and Italian heads of state traveling to France to lay wreaths at the grave of this Italian artist and scientist and inventor, a man so extraordinary that his works and influence still live on 5 centuries after his death. You know, that's quite the life achievement right there. 5 centuries on, they're still marveling over what you did. And one of these works, of course, is the Mona Lisa, which is said to be the best known, the most visited, the most written about, the most sung about, and the most parodied work of art in the world. It's a priceless piece said to be worth somewhere near the $700 million mark if it was to ever be sold. Painted somewhere between 1503 and 1507 in Florence, Italy, and it's been the fascination of viewers for over 5 centuries. So what is it about this piece that makes it so timeless? Is it the beauty of the woman featured on the canvas? Or is it instead the genius of the one who created that image in the first place? Because any serious student of this work becomes a student not only of the woman in the painting, but of the artist himself and what he was actually trying to communicate through this masterpiece. One could say that the study of the Mona Lisa is to study the genius of the one who created her. And the destiny of this masterpiece was to reflect the genius of its creator. You might be surprised to hear this morning, but the Bible calls you and I masterpieces, works of art, uniquely crafted from the color of our iris to the originality of our fingertips. Like the Mona Lisa, there is no one else like you. You are one of a kind, a soul intelligently crafted by God himself and sent to this planet to reflect something of his glory on the earth. I want to affirm us in this place today and take off of us any of the limiting shackles or thoughts that may have condemned us or make us feel small or wretched or ugly or insecure. The truth of Scripture is this: you have a divine, God-given destiny. You have a God story. You have a purpose for living. And by destiny, I mean what Casey Treat defined in his book, Fulfilling Your God-Given Destiny. He says that it's a course or path in life that includes both the God-given destination that you're seeking at life's end and your own faith-filled journey towards that destination. I like this. This use of words refers to the fullest possible life that we can have in Christ. The one that God foresaw and also forewrote before we were born. A life in which we get to light up the darkness and overcome the odds and live out the master script that the King has prepared for us. We get to score big and go home to heaven victorious. You know, that sounds like a good plan for our life, our destiny. Now, I know that we live on a fallen planet, and I know there's all sorts of different influences that are at work in the earth. And it wouldn't take much observation to see that there are sadly plenty of people that miss this mark, either through lack of knowledge or compromise or bad choices or laziness or selfishness. Tragically, people die every day having never achieved their God-given destiny, having not realized their potential purpose and power. But I want to share some good news in this place today. That is not God's intent for you and for me. The Bible makes it clear that God has in mind a pre-planned life assignment, that we each have a responsibility to discover and live out for the glory of God. The scriptures at no point promise, and this is where I just want to clarify some things and bring some balance to this, because we're not a hyper-faith and hyper-grace church. We're a church that wants to keep things in balance. Scripture at no point promises that your destiny will be perfect or without problems, but it will be a life of purpose. It may have some setbacks along the way, but they can all work together for our strengthening. Our destiny will not be without bumps, but it can absolutely be beautiful regardless. It will involve some seasons of waiting, but in the end, the waiting will never be wasted and will ultimately work together for God's eternal glory and our eternal gain if we follow Jesus and are obedient to his call for our lives. Here's some scriptures today along this topic of destiny to encourage us. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's handiwork. That's where that verse comes from that I mentioned earlier. Another translation says, masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do, foreknew and forewrote a plan for our life. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. In other words, when God has his way in our lives, good things happen because he's a good God. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you. Psalm 139:16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. A script for our life written in advance. Romans 8:28-30, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Is anybody getting encouraged in this place today? John 15:7-8, if you remain in me, this is Jesus speaking, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. God is glorified when we live fruitful lives. I love what St. Irenaeus said around the 2nd century AD, the glory of God is man fully alive, you and I fully alive. That's what glorifies God. And a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. This is some good news. This is some encouragement today. And perhaps we've had some hard knocks along the way, and so it might sound a little bit idealistic or even naive, because we all know that this life at times is tragic and attacks come and good people experience senseless pain. But the scriptures promise us that God's goodness is greater than hell's badness. And we can trust in the power and sovereignty of a God who is never caught by surprise and always lovingly working throughout our life to be able to see good come to his children. That's the destiny story that we're going to be unpacking and learning about in the coming weeks. We're going to be working with the acronym DESTINY in order to unpack this powerful part of our life as Christians, for us to further understand how we are to tap into our destiny story that God has in mind for us. So we're going to work through each of these letters. Today's message is built around the letter D. D is for, first of all, my first point this morning is for divine discovery. Feel free to take notes if you like. And these slides will, of course, be available during the week along with our Podomatic podcast. D is for divine discovery. Contrary to what many popular books, movies, and seminars may tell us, we won't discover our life's meaning by only looking within ourselves. I didn't make me. You didn't make you. And so we are not the highest source of knowledge on why we are here. If someone handed us an invention this morning that we'd never seen before, we might be able to deduce some of what that thing, that contraption, that gizmo is meant to do by observing it and testing it. But ultimately, it's only by interviewing the creator of that thing or reading the owner's manual of that invention that we really discover the full potential and intent of that invention. Are we hearing this morning? The same is true for us. We are all one-of-a-kind inventions, one-off Mona Lisa masterpieces. So it is only through conversations and relationship with our designer that we discover our destiny. Because God-given destiny, as far as the Bible describes it, is not just a results thing. It's not just a race to the top, climb the corporate ladder as fast as you possibly can. It's not just a results thing, it's a relationship thing. It's not just a conquest thing, it's a getting to know your creator thing. Ephesians chapter 1, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Why? To be holy and blameless in his sight. What was his motive? In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. He's predestined this plan. It's a relationship thing. He's lovingly crafted it, and the only way that we will ever discover it is by meeting with and connecting with our designer. The truth this morning is that we are discovering, not deciding, our destiny. God decides it, but we get to discover it. And because God decides it, that means that it's divine. It has heavenly origins, which is why the search for personal destiny has puzzled people for thousands of years when it comes to life's big questions. What is the meaning of life? Why am I here? People often begin at the wrong starting point themselves by asking questions like, what do I want to be? What should I do with my life? What are my goals, my ambitions, my dreams for my future? If that's the only questions that we're asking, then we're looking in the wrong primary source. Those are okay questions, and we'll get to them in a few moments' time, but the primary questions, the first questions, in order for us to truly discover our destiny, means turning to God in prayer and reading his word and listening to what he is saying to us rather than what the world is saying to us. If we truly want to know why we've been placed on earth, then we should begin with God, because human speculation will never beat heaven's revelation. Thankfully, there is a source of knowledge which is better than just, I guess. We can have divine revelation. We can turn to what God and his owner's manual, the scriptures, have to say to discover our divine destiny. Secondly, D is for design. Psalm 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Who knows this guy's got an okay self-image? He's calling himself wonderful. He's calling himself the workmanship of God. He's saying that this thing is incredible. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Humility is agreeing with what God says concerning our lives. That's true humility. False humility is saying, I could never possibly be that. I'm just the scum of the earth. I'm just absolutely hopeless. That's not humility. That's actually inverted pride. Because it's saying, God, you did a really garbage job when you made me. I know what I really am. You don't know what I am. I know what I am, and I'm garbage. Which is actually inverted pride. Can we see that? But when we accept that we were lovingly crafted, then our sense of self-image and confidence can be restored and healed. And friend, this can be such a balm to our soul that can undo so much of the damage that the world has thrown at us over the years. I want to encourage somebody today. Your birth was no mistake or mishap, and you were no fluke of nature. Long before you were entrusted to your parents, you were imagined in the mind of God. And this scripture promises that God knew us and predestined us for a purpose before we were even born. And even if our conception was questionable, even if we were a surprise to our parents, even if we weren't intended, or somebody said to us that we were actually an accident from our earthly parents' perspective, in the mind of God, we were planned, wanted, desired, and predestined to be a part of His family. Even before our parents, God had a purpose and a plan. So it's not fate or chance or luck or just coincidence that you and I are breathing at this moment this morning. It is destiny. We could have been born at any time in human history, but God determined that He needed you now. And furthermore, He prescribed every single detail of our design. He deliberately chose your race, the color of your skin, your hair, and every other feature. He custom made your body just the way He wanted it. He also determined your natural talents that you would possess and the uniqueness of your personality. He planned the days of your life in advance, choosing the exact time of your lifespan. Your ethnicity, nationality, and geography are no accident. God left no detail to chance. He planned it all for His purpose. I want to encourage us today, there's nothing about you that's a mistake or arbitrary or accidental. God knew your parents and decided that those two individuals possess the right genetic makeup to create the custom you that He had in mind. They had the DNA that God needed to make you, you. Before He created the earth, He saw you and He knew you. He knew the choices that you would make and the things that we would desire and the things that we would fulfill in our lifetime. And with all of that foreknowledge in mind, God established a purpose and plan for our existence. He established our destiny. Is this encouraging somebody this morning? Is this affirming and undoing some of the lies of the world that we've perhaps heard? I trust that this is helping us to see how lovingly we were crafted, how carefully we were designed, and how highly we are valued by our Heavenly Father. In the coming weeks, we're going to be continuing to unpack this, and in our 9 a.m. ministry service, we're also going to be going into the specifics of our gift mix and what the Bible has to say about the various kinds of gifts and callings that are found in the New Testament for believers. And we're going to unpack those and bring encouragement to us. And we've got a Destiny Finder resource available for people. And I believe that we're going to be mobilized for ministry in a whole new way of confidence and clarity, because we're going to understand I've been designed on purpose for God's purpose. Every joint supplies. We're incomplete without you and what you're meant to contribute to the body of Christ. Amen. We can afford this morning to accept and even rejoice in the fact that God designed us. We can praise Him for that. Because if He made us the way that He did, we can trust that He had a good reason for doing so, because He is a good God. Thirdly, D is for desire. Psalm 37 verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. There's something purposeful about the way that you and I tick. And God has placed within us, as I said, specific giftings and abilities and talents, but also grievances and passions. It would be incorrect to deny the fact that we have desires. Deep within our heart, we've got these gravitational longings that are actually God-given guideposts present within us to point us towards His path for our life. Millennia ago in ancient China, a middle-aged man watched with astonishment as he repeatedly dropped a small shard of iron onto a leaf and watched as it floated on the water. And inexplicably, the leaf would spin around and point in the same direction every time. And this is where we understand the origin of the compass, the original navigational tool, and how it was discovered. Those people in ancient times had no concept of north and south, and the alignment naturally sought by that metallic shard. And what's going on there? What are these forces that are at work? And it wasn't for hundreds of years that they would discover why that piece of metal behaved the way that it did, that the compass would be embraced by soldiers and travelers needing the precise direction to lead them to their destination. People previous to that could only really kind of set their course based on the physical markings around them. They didn't understand that there was an internal force, in this case, Earth's magnetic field, that influenced the piece of iron. And similarly, inside of every single one of us, there is a compass, an internal force of divine desire that God has placed within us. And He is waiting for it to be discovered and used for His glory. And when we learn to use that and to trust that, it becomes this valuable resource where we can then navigate the stormy seas of life, the cloudy skies of life, and understand why it is that we are here. There's a reason there are some things that really grieve you and it doesn't really bother other people. You know, when I see, for example, music done really poorly, it's like nails down a chalkboard for me. What is that? That's a fact that I'm called to do something about that. I want to see musicality done well in the house of God for the glory of God. We've got footage of me of a four-year-old boy dancing around the living room, singing Michael Jackson songs. Obviously had to be delivered of that, but the musicality was there for God's purpose. And similarly for you, there's some things that are like, man, that just stirs me. There's something about that that just excites me. That's not there accidentally. That's there on purpose. There's a desire within each of us in the deep center of ourselves that we call our heart. We were born with it and it never dies. We're often unaware of it, but it is always awake. And our true identity, our reason for being, is to be found in this desire. Ian Bounds, in his book, Man of Prayer, desire gives fervor to prayer. The soul cannot be listless when some great desire fixes it and inflames it. Strong desires make strong prayers. The neglect of prayer is the fearful token of dead spiritual desires. There can be no true praying without desire. Do you remember how the scriptures talk about the fact that Nehemiah, as cupbearer to the king, hears about the condition of Israel's walls, and suddenly he's just struck with grief, and his countenance falls, and he's walking around depressed for days, to the point that the king inquires of him and says, "What's going on?" And Nehemiah confesses what's in his heart. "I'm brokenhearted about the walls of Israel." He begins crying in the presence of God, petitioning heaven, praying. His desire gave way to fervent prayer, which gave way to his destiny. And the king commissioned him to go back to Israel and rebuild the walls. As Christians, we understand that before we come to Jesus, our hearts were sick. The scripture says that the human heart is deceitful and wicked. It can't be trusted. We understand that. But when we are born again, when we place our trust in Jesus, the scriptures say that it is as though our heart of stone is removed and replaced with a heart of flesh. Our internal compass, once broken and untrustworthy, is now healed. And it takes up residence within the center of our soul. And now with God living on the inside of us, we can understand that our desires can become trustworthy as they are tempered by the Holy Spirit. He's alive within us and he leads us into the truth of the desires of our hearts so that we can cultivate and fulfill those desires. And he helps us to be able to discern the difference from silly, fleeting fantasies and instead legitimate, God-given desires that he lights up and breathes on as we delight in him again through relationship. And in that place of God being the foundation of our destiny first, of us understanding that it's a divine discovery and not our decision, once that foundation is laid, then walking relationally with the Holy Spirit, it's appropriate for us to ask some of these questions with him in the presence of God. What's the deepest desire of my heart? Because we can understand that that is a God-given capacity. And as we consider what we long for, we'll be drawn to begin studying and preparing to do those things. What stirs our passion? Passion is that zeal, fire, excitement, intensity that we feel on the inside towards the things that are important to us. What makes you really upset? That's linked with your passion. What thoughts, visions, or dreams are impossible to put out of your mind? Because everything that God wants to do in and through your life will start with a thought or vision. Joel chapter 2, we understand the Holy Spirit comes to bring dream and vision. What are the visions that are going on the inside of us? To what could we give 100% of ourselves for our whole life? Because think about this, if God forewrote our story and had a great plan in mind, then he also knows that those gifts and talents and strengths and emotions that are within you are not haphazard. He hasn't given those to us so that we ignore them. No, rather, our destiny will require all of that. We'll be stretched to the limit and we'll have to dig deeply in order to finish the adventure story that the Lord has in mind for us. What you love is a clue to the gifts, skills, and wisdom you possess. What grieves us is a clue to something that we're assigned to heal. And what we hate is a clue to something that we are assigned to correct. So instead of ignoring our heartfelt desires, we should instead, with the guidance and grace of the Holy Spirit, tune into what's happening within us. Because in doing so, we'll be able to discover more fully how we tick, and why God has wired us in that way. Amen? Now, perhaps this morning, you're hearing this but saying, "Okay, Luke, I hear that, but what about those whose life is cut short? What about those that have been martyred for their faith? What about the infants who never saw the light of day?" Which leads me to our final point this morning, D is for destination. What we must understand is that this finite life is not the end of the story. In order to keep us from becoming too attached to earth, God will allow us to feel a significant amount of discontentment and dissatisfaction in this life. And it's true that there may be longings that will never be fulfilled this side of eternity. But that's okay, because earth is not our final home. We were created for an even better destination. Hebrews 11, talking about those whose life was cut short. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. These are old covenant believers who had an understanding that Christ was coming, a new covenant was coming. They welcomed them from a distance. They admitted that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking about the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return, but instead they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. There's something beyond this lifetime. We are born for more. That's not just a catchy slogan on our banner this morning. That's a truthful statement concerning our eternal nature. We are born for more. A fish would never be happy living on land because it was made for water. An eagle will never be content walking on the ground because it was made for the sky. And similarly, we will never feel completely satisfied on earth because we are born for more. We will absolutely have happy moments here. Godliness with contentment is great gain, Scripture says. God is good. And we will experience times of joy and peace in this life. But nothing can compare with what God has planned for us in eternity. And when we realize that life on earth is just a temporary assignment, that's a good thing, because it helps us to radically alter our values. Suddenly we begin thinking from a heavenly perspective, an eternal set of priorities rather than temporal ones. And they become the deciding factors for our decisions. This helps us to put first things first and to face the tough times with an eternal perspective. Amen? Don't buy into the lie that life is just about comfort and ease, and that if I serve God, everything's going to work out and be roses. That is not scriptural. That is not in the Bible. That is not New Covenant faith. Paul was faithful and yet ended up in prison. John the Baptist was faithful, but he was beheaded. Millions of faithful people have been martyred. They've lost everything, or they've come to the end of life with nothing to show for it. But because our destiny has an eternal destination, none of that was lost. Really, on the contrary, those people are even more richly rewarded for their sacrifice on the other side with God. In the Lord's eyes, the greatest heroes of the faith are not those who only achieve prosperity, success, and power in this life, but rather the Lord prefers to hang around with those who treat this life as a temporary assignment and serve faithfully with a different destination in mind, expecting the promised reward in eternity. Reminds me of this story that's often repeated of a retiring missionary coming home to America on the same boat as the President of the United States at the time. And the crowds are cheering and the military band is playing and the red carpet's rolled out and there is banners and the media are there to welcome the president home. But the missionary slips off the ship unnoticed. And feeling self-pity and resentment, he begins complaining to God, but then the Holy Spirit reminds him, son, you're not home yet. It will be like that on the other side. We will hear those beautiful words, well done, my good and faithful servant. There will be the cheers of heaven that we'll be able to enjoy eternally as we fulfill our destiny and ultimately glorify the one who made all of our destinies possible, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice. The truth is that we are not home until we are in the place where the streets are paved with gold. We're not home until we're dancing with the angels. We're not home until we're face to face with the ancient saints that have gone before us to join their number in the great cloud of witnesses. The truth is that we're not home until we're greeted by Jesus with those beautiful words, well done, my good and faithful servant. So therefore, the fulfillment of one's destiny is not just apparent success in this life, but rather the purpose of our destiny is found in best preparing in this life for our eternal destination. Which means that when I go through trials or when someone else's decision slows down what God was wanting to do in my life, or when progress towards my next goal is frustrated or there's some sort of setback or failure that takes place, because it's not just about this destination but the next destination, all of those problems are an opportunity in disguise that are asking me the question, will I worship in the midst of that? Will I use that apparent setback to my progress in this life as a catalyst towards godliness and contentment and praise and faith so that my heart is even more ready for the next life? When we reach an age where our body is no longer able to do what it used to do, will we become bitter and self-loathing? Or will we turn our attention to further cultivating our prayer life and the integrity of our heart and our sense of trust towards God and our sense of encouragement towards others? Because though that may not appear that impressive to people, it's crazy impressive to God. And it's us actively preparing for our eternal destination. It's us practicing for heaven. And heaven is going to be all about God and all about others. In a sense, this life is the womb of eternity. And no baby sets up a place of permanent occupancy in their mum's tummy. That's just where they get cooked before they get their chance to shine. And likewise, this life is in some ways merely preparation for the next. So that frees us when things are perhaps not going right, because the purpose is my preparation for the next life. It's not about getting my name up in lights. It's not about us necessarily being found on the Hollywood A-list. It's not about necessarily having a name or a city or a nation named after us. The purpose of our destiny is to best prepare for our eternal destination, which is what helps us to be able to make sense of the ups and downs that we experience in this life. None of it need be wasted, and instead can be our catalyst towards God-pleasing patience and praise towards our Father in heaven. Which is why the Westminster Catechism says this: the chief purpose of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Our destiny has an eternal destination. Much has been said of Mona Lisa's smile over the years. People have referred to it as whimsical, refined, beautiful. What's the reason for her smile, and what is it meant to communicate? What was it that Da Vinci had in mind? Perhaps her smile was simply her taking pleasure in the artist who was painting her and the painstaking effort that he was making to capture her image. But can I suggest for us today that there's a lesson for us in this? That we will experience joy in this life. That we will find ourselves smiling a whole lot more when we look to our Creator and understand that it is He that is the one working behind the scenes to author our stories according to His will. You and I don't have to struggle and strive in our own strength to make it happen. For our destiny is a divine discovery. It is by design. It is a matter of God-given desire. And ultimately, it's only truly fulfilled when we reach our eternal destination. Therefore, destiny is a matter of resting in and responding out of our relationship with God, the artist of our lives. And when our eyes are fixed upon Him and His love and His goodness and His kindness, we'll find ourselves wearing a Mona Lisa smile of contentment and peace as well. Because God, through Christ, has made a way into our eternal home in time forever with Him. And therefore, our destiny, our chief purpose in this life, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever and to prepare for our eternal home in heaven with Him. Amen. Can we pray this morning?
Thank you for joining us at Empower Church. We're committed to seeing you discover Jesus, grow in discipleship, and fulfill your destiny. To find out more about who we are and how you can get involved, please head over to empowerchurch.com.au or like us on our Facebook page. We can't wait to hear from you.